in this day, as we encounter your word to us in Scripture, as we seek your will, as we meet you again on the journey. In Christ we pray. Amen. You may remember that several weeks ago, we prayed for our sister church, Babcock Presbyterian in Ashaway, Rhode Island, a church that was vandalized in the middle of the night and every room in the church actually destroyed. Yesterday, we were at Presbytery, and there was a rather lengthy story about what has happened in that congregation through that journey of horror and dismay. I remember in that week that it happened, Marilyn McNaughton, their pastor, and a classmate of mine in seminary, talking to her. I actually talked to her the morning of the attack, because I was returning one of her phone calls. And she said in that week, a couple of days later, when I asked her how she was doing, she said, we are just trying to do our best to stand in the good. Stand in the good. They have done so through this time of amazing, amazing time of intensity in their lives as a community. 2 weeks ago was Easter, and it doesn't get any better than Easter, does it? There's no better good or no more good than Easter itself. And yet, we saw, as we encountered Scripture last week in the doubts of Thomas, that it didn't take long for that Easter good to wear off. We read in Scripture today that we have two of them. Two of them, we don't really know exactly who they are or how they were related to the story of Jesus. But two of them on that very day are on their way out of town from Jerusalem. There's a lot of movement in the story in this time. Can you picture the scene itself? Our text in Luke makes it clear that they're leaving Jerusalem at this time when people are trying to figure it all out. They're going to a village named Emmaus. We're not even really sure what that village is. If you look up and try to get some information about it, all you can see is that there are four towns that claim to be Emmaus. All in that vicinity, about that amount of time away. But they're getting away from what was chaos and despair and challenge and death of Jesus, uncertainty about what does this all mean. We see and feel the disbelief, the fear, and the doubt. You may remember that on Easter morning we read about that as the women go to the tomb. They don't believe each other in the stories that they tell. They splinter and separate. They hide out together, cowering in fear. They run off by themselves separately. And they have many, many questions. And then there are these two on the road, traveling away from it all. Who are they? Luke and Mark, too, say that there are two of them. We read later in the text that one of them is named Cleopas. And later, even later in the text, we hear them referring back to the stories told by Simon, but it's not really clear whether he's talking about this story or some other story. But we do know from the text that they're talking about, as they walk along these 7 miles to Emmaus, wherever that is, talking about all that has happened. Can you picture them talking and discussing, telling the story to one another, trying to make sense of it all? And we read that Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. The Jesus that these two meet on the road to Emmaus is not the Jesus they had expected. They put it bluntly to Jesus, the Jesus that they don't know, that the Jesus that they had hoped for was the one to redeem Israel. They don't even know that they're talking to the same Jesus. N.T. Wright says in his commentary on this text that what these disciples had been looking for was a Messiah who would save them from their suffering. And what they got was a Messiah who saved them through his suffering. There's a moment in the recent Disney film Tangled. How many have seen that one? Not enough small kids, I guess, or the right age of kids. Lamenting, where the characters are lamenting and wondering about their dreams. A dream, they're saying to one another, what happens if the dream doesn't come true? And they also ask the question, what happens if the dream does come true? Eugene, who is the character who sings to the princess, his real name when he becomes real with the princess, is then you just need to go out and find a new dream. So hopeful, and such an opportunity, and an opportunity that our disciples in this story today have the chance to grasp. In my first year of ministry, I was a hospital chaplain, and I met Denise. Denise came into the hospital after a friend had injected heroin into her neck to induce an even greater high and had severed her spinal cord in the process. Nothing in my seminary career prepared me to minister to someone like Denise, to meet someone like Denise along the journey. Her knowledge about Jesus was knowledge that she got in prison ministry, in several bouts through jail. But it wasn't until she lay paralyzed and on a ventilator in that hospital for many months, the full time that I served at that hospital, that she came to realize that Jesus was at work in her life. It was an amazing thing to behold. She realized her dream of becoming clean, although it didn't quite happen the way that she had expected it to be. And through the work of a talented social worker, she fulfilled her new end-of-life dream to reconnect with all five of her children who had been lost in the Philadelphia child welfare system. In several of those cases, it was my privilege to see firsthand her apologize to these kids who ranged in age from 8 to 15 for not being a better mother, and to give her blessing and thanks to the people who were caring for them in her absence. Many years later, I still kept in touch with Denise, even moving to Rhode Island, remembering her birthday, Christmas, and Easter with cards and even phone calls. She died before she was 40 years old. I learned that she had died from her daughter, her oldest daughter, Kadaja, who found my address on one of the cards that I had sent her and tracked me down in Rhode Island and one day called me up. She shared how much it had helped her to have that time of healing with her birth mother and to reconnect and bring some kind of closure. These were the words of a 23-year-old. Not quite the journey that Denise or Kadaja or any of us had expected. Perhaps you too have had a meeting with Jesus that you didn't expect out of circumstances that you never thought you'd be facing. Or maybe you're encountering a dimension of Jesus that you didn't even know existed as you come together in new community, in new relationships. Maybe your circumstances are of life are so overwhelming at this time through loss or health or job or transition that you're blinded to the Jesus who is in your midst. I started this reflection on thinking about the story of the Babcock Church and the ministry or the experience of Jesus they faced through that experience of vandalism. Jesus became very real to them in the reaching out of the community around them, in the gifts of a new piano and organ that came forth from that tiny little community of Ashaway, Rhode Island, and enabled them to share what they had with other communities. The ministry of Jesus was multiplied in that time. But what about us on the journey, on that road to Emmaus? Are we so looking for a certain kind of Jesus that we miss the opportunity to encounter him in our day-to-day circumstances, even in suffering or the hard places of our lives? And will we recognize him when we do meet him? We read that these disciples of Jesus walk and they talk and they tell the story to this stranger. There's a communication skill that is taught, or that I was taught many years ago, called story listening, that sounds like it would never work, but surprisingly it does. And you can play with it on your own too. You don't just have to be listening to another person, although that's when it becomes very easy to see more clearly in that actual dialogue and relationship with another. In it, you tell stories from different parts of your life. Might be when your earliest memory that you can recall in that conversation. It might be the first day of school. It might be when you got married or had a child or sent a child off to school, or the death of a significant other in your life. And it's amazing how, when you tell this series of stories, the same themes pop up again and again. I like to imagine, we don't have the clarity, Mark only gives us two verses in his gospel of this story. We have more in Luke. But I like to imagine that these disciples were story listening. And as they told the story of Jesus to this stranger, the same themes came up again and again. Until that point, when they sit at table and their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. I like that part of the story, that as soon as they recognized him, he was off to make sure that someone else knew that he had really risen. The Greek word for recognize in this case is actually the same word as remember. Their eyes were opened and they remembered him. The same word that we read in the words of institution, do this in remembrance of me. What if we were to walk our life's journeys expecting to meet Jesus, looking to meet Jesus, to remember him? I really struggled this week. I enjoyed writing this sermon. In fact, it was in three different versions, which is kind of unlike me to enjoy writing a sermon so much. But it was in three different versions. I did not so much enjoy preparing for the presbytery meeting that was yesterday. The clergy coach I work with says that what I really need to work on sometimes is reframing things. Changing my attitude would probably be a better way to put it. So I decided that I would take this sermon that was more or less in this form when I left for presbytery yesterday morning and try to reframe my attitude about the presbytery meeting, and to look for the ways in which I might see Jesus in that presbytery meeting. I was amazed at how again and again I did, in ways that I certainly didn't see him in the written reports. The disciples remember Jesus. They remember the scriptures he had revealed, the journey that they had been on together, the things that Jesus said himself again and again, and he says again when he travels with them here. Remember, I told you that was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? This could have been the end of the story. After all, Jesus then immediately, as we hear, vanishes from from their sight, but it's not. In all four Gospels, we encounter Jesus coming again and again to his followers. I had great fun this week reading all of those post-resurrection appearances in a way that I hadn't read them before, breaking bread with them in a variety of ways and encouraging them to remember and go forth from there. Into this mix of scattered followers in groups and as individuals, now without Jesus physically in their midst, Jesus comes again to reassure them that the message of rising from the dead is real, that it's a journey that we live out in community all the way into Pentecost, a journey of reflection and empowerment for ministry and mission. He leaves them all with a charge in all four Gospels, and it's slightly different. The church then, and this post-Easter time, is a place of natural transition. It's probably no surprise that this is where we start saying our goodbyes to people in the life of this church year. People graduating, people moving on to new opportunities, people coming back and forth and re-encountering us in the journey. In 2 weeks, we will elect new leadership for our deacons and session as well. And as a church, as you've heard in the announcements, we will be conversing about two different major areas in the life of our journey, in our mission outreach in the community and in our nurture and development as spiritual folks. Do you realize that there have been 7 babies born since last Mother's Day in this congregation? I know you might think that it's been a lot, but the year before that, between Mother's Days, there were another 7 babies born. By my count, that's 14 babies in 2 years born here in the midst of us. After the two remember who they are traveling with, they go back to share it with the community of disciples, as we too share in community. And the drive to share the good news takes them back to those who need to be strengthened in the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. The encouragement continues in Luke's telling as Jesus meets with the other disciples to remind them and us that we are to be witnesses, that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed by us in the name of Jesus, and that Jesus sends upon them and upon us all that God has promised. The strength will be there. There's a magnet on my refrigerator at home which came out of a box of Celestial Seasonings tea. Been on my refrigerator for so long that I no longer see it when I open the refrigerator door. You know how that can go. It kind of happens with household projects, too. But I saw it this morning for the first time in a long time. And on the magnet is a quote by the first Prime Minister of India, Nehru. "There is no end to the adventures we may have if only we seek them with our eyes wide open." I kid you not, on the front of my refrigerator. May our eyes be so opened that we would see Jesus and live always to be his witnesses in our families, in our community, and our world. Amen.
Please rise and join me in reciting the affirmation of faith, which can be found in your bulletin. What shall I return?